Welcome to Back to Health with Dr. Cale Copeland. He has been a chiropractic provider to the Victoria Grizzlies Junior A Hockey Club for 9 seasons and involved in healthcare for over 2 decades. Get ready to be inspired to greater vitality, performance, energy, and health as he interviews experts every 2 weeks. Now here's Dr. Cale.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Cale Copeland and I'm your host for Back to Health. Thanks for listening. This is my first episode. Super excited today. I'm going to be speaking with my friend and guest, Jamie Johnson. So we're going to be discussing the traits the most successful athletes and people use for vitality and performance and topics such as self-massage, because I know I want to know more about that. Now, before Jamie joins us, just a reminder, if you have any questions or you require assistance, you can always reach us here at Victoria Family Chiropractic at 250-592-5553 or online at www.vfchiro.com. That's V as in Victoria, F as in family, C-H-I-R-O.com. So Jamie is a registered massage therapist in Victoria, BC. He's been in practice for 6 years, and while he enjoys clinical practice, he's also been focused on sport. And over his career, Jamie's worked with the Victoria Grizzlies Junior A hockey team. That's where he and I met. He works with Rugby Canada and the men's sevens team. And he's also been invited back to work with the women's development team for Hockey Canada. So awesome stuff. Jamie also sits on the board of directors for the Provincial Massage Therapy Association. And a couple of years ago, he launched a website, the Massage Therapist Development Center, with the intent of helping to better the profession and helping other massage therapists gain confidence in practice. When he's not working, Jamie is a volunteer firefighter for the last 15 years. He enjoys hockey, golf, and snowboarding. Jamie, welcome to Back to Health.
Hey, how are you doing? How are you doing, man?
Doing awesome.
Excellent.
Doing awesome. I'm really, really excited to have you on the show here for the first time.
Yeah, I'm honored that you would ask me, especially for your inaugural show.
Thank you, thank you. So, Jamie, so listen, I got a couple questions for you and hoping to kind of dig deep and give our listeners some awesome information. So tell me, how did everything start for you in healthcare? How did you get involved in massage?
It's a kind of a funny transition, actually. I used to be an industrial first aid attendant at a sawmill up in Campbell River. And then the sawmill shut down. So there was about 300 employees there that were all trying to figure out what they were going to do with their life at that point. So I actually went and did some aptitude testing because I decided I would go back to school to learn how to do something. And I was debating going into nursing just because I liked working on people from being first aid attendant. And of course, I was on the fire hall up there too. So, you know, doing first aid on people over the years and first responder stuff. So I figured maybe I'd be a good nurse, and then did the aptitude testing, and massage therapy was one of the things that came up on the aptitude test. And I would have never thought of that. So I started looking into it a little bit deeper, and then I looked at it and went, man, you mean if I became a massage therapist, I could work with sports teams? And I was sold. So I went and took the introductory massage therapy course at the local college and enrolled in the following month or two later in September, I started school.
That's awesome. And it's so cool. I mean, that's how you and I met with the Grizzlies many, many years ago. Well, that's great.
I was a student back then, so it was great.
Oh, that's so fun. Well, listen, here's one of the big questions I had for you. So you've had the privilege, I mean, you've seen a lot of high-level athletes now, like national-level athletes, and you've treated lots of people. So what I want to know, and I'm sure what our listeners want to know, is what do you think, what are the traits that you seem to have noticed that not only, you know, successful people have, like people that come see you that are healthy, but also like from an athletic standpoint, what is it about those people? What do they do? How do they act? What differentiates them and helps them be healthy, successful?
Well, I think one of the big things is that they really take care of themselves, you know, especially at the athlete level. You know, the year that I spent with the men's rugby team, I would go in once a week and do treatment with them. And, you know, they had a very specific timeline every day of that was scheduled out, you know, that they would do training and then they had their meals prepped. They would come in for therapy and then go home and do whatever it was that the coaches and trainers and things would ask of them. And it's the same thing at the hockey level. You know, when I'm working with the women's national team, and that they're all people who really take care of themselves, whether it's, you know, strictly with physical health, but also with mental health. You know, even when we travel, and like last year when I was in Calgary with the women's national team, they actually had a mental health skills coach with each team. So, you know, if one of the girls was having a hard time with something, then the mental health skills coach would go in and have a chat with them and sit down with them. And, it, you know, it's not just taking care of their mental health, but they were also helping them with visualizing success, you know, thinking about the future, what they were going to do, you know, after school and things like that. So really, I think that most of those people just do a good job of taking care of themselves.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, you mentioned a lot of stuff there. I mean, obviously, most of the people listening aren't pro athletes. They're not national level athletes. But, you know, a couple of things I heard there was they seemed to have goals, right? They were, you know, they had a dream or somewhere they wanted to go, and they were taking action towards it, which I know that I think in practice I've seen that as well. People that, you know, just have a direction in life, they tend to do better. I guess a couple things I was wanted to kind of, I don't know if you can offer any insight into this. I'm fascinated about the mental side of things too. Do you know what that looks like? If, I mean, you know, an athlete might be struggling with their game, or they're feeling anxious, you know, are there certain things that you know that they teach them that just normal people can use in our lives?
I don't know of anything specifically. I'm just trying to think, because one of the ladies who's a mental health skills coach with Hockey Canada there, she wrote a blog post for me a little while ago that was talking about mental health and helping athletes. But I don't know of specific things that they use other than, you know, proper diet, exercise, those kind of things, because all of those contribute to our mental well-being as much as it does our physical well-being.
Oh, that's so true. And I think, too, you know, if you have goals and you spend time and you actually visualize or you think about it, I think that's part of it, too, just sort of bringing that into your mental image. So, oh, that's great. So basically, as a synopsis, people just put energy into the people that put energy into their health, you notice they're healthier.
For sure.
Awesome.
For sure. Even, you know, in clinical practice, you know, the people who are successful, and I mean, it degrees on what your version of success in life is, I guess. But, you know, whether it's a successful business person who is coming in and getting treatment, who talks about, you know, what they do to take care of themselves, whether it's exercise and meditation or coming in for a massage, going to their chiropractor, different things like that, where they just regularly do things to take care of their body and their mental health, or whether it's, you know, a nurse who, you know, just worked a 12-hour shift and is stressed out, so comes in for some treatment so that they're really taking care of themselves.
Yeah, and I know that's something that's really unique about massage too, is that there's a, you know, massage has got that almost mental health element built into it, where you can sit and relax and unwind. And I'm sure in practice too, just like in my practice, you know, I definitely see a lot of people for more kind of symptom-based care, but there's definitely a growing number of people that seem to want to come in for some sort of a, you know, like a preventative maintenance. And I'm sure it's the same in your practice, I would think.
100%. And the more research and things that I've read over the last, you know, couple of years, and even since I've been out of college and in practice, the mind-body connection and mental health that goes with people who come in for massage therapy treatment, and I'm sure with chiropractic as well, it's huge. You know, the time that they get to be on the table for, say, an hour treatment, where they get an escape from the rest of life.
Yeah.
Is a huge factor to the mental health side. So,
oh, for
you know,
sure.
I've had discussions with people that, you know, like I said, whether it's a nurse that just worked a 12-hour shift, or whether it's somebody who's stressed out because, say, there's difficulties with family at home or whatever other things are going on in their life, they get that 1 hour break to be on the table where they don't have to think, they don't have to do anything, and somebody's doing something to take care of them.
Yeah.
It's a massive thing.
That's awesome. And I know too, just from clinical practice too, that obviously people's lifestyle plays a huge, I mean, their mental health levels play a huge level as to how they are overall. But that's great. Hey, another question I had for you too, and I mean, this is something I'm fascinated about, is that, you know, some people, when they're faced with a challenge, they almost use the challenge as a springboard to get better. And certainly it can go the other way. And I know that you and I have had some conversations in the past, and like most of us, you've gone through some adversity. And I'm just wondering, like, how is that? How have you been able to use things in the past that have been challenges, and how have you used that to get to where you're at today?
Well, I think it varies with each challenge, but a good friend of mine a little while ago, we had a conversation about this, and I forget what it was, but I was facing some adversity, and he was like, "That's awesome that happened," and I was like, "What are you talking about? it's terrible that that happened. He's like, no, dude, that's fuel. That right there is fuel to get you to the next stage.
Wow.
So really, and, you know, I've been looking at things like that over the last couple of years, that when something does go wrong, it's fuel to make you better. It's those things that we face that are adversity. It's, if we learn from them, we can use them to our benefit 100%. And, you know, over the years, I've heard so many people that would say, you know, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
And I used to kind of poo-poo that, whereas now I'm like, no, everything does happen for a reason. Because, you know, opportunities come along where maybe you didn't realize 2 years ago when something didn't work out, that 2 years later, when you look back at it, you're like, oh, well, that didn't work out, because if that would have happened, I wouldn't be at this point. It would have gone a different direction.
Oh, isn't that, that is so, I find that to be so amazingly true. And just to be able to have that wisdom, right, to say, okay, hey, right at this moment, maybe things aren't going the way I was hoping they would go, but to have that confidence that, you know what, this is going to be good for me, and I'm going to use this as a positive way. And I think that in life, it's not so much the event, it's really how we interpret the event. And that's wonderful stuff, Jamie. So good for you. So you've used that as, you know, when challenges have come, you've said it's more been like a, hey, I'm going to be at peace with this, and I'm going to use this as motivation to get better.
100%. But it's it doesn't necessarily happen right away. You know, when the adversity happens, you still have to deal with that adversity. And whether it's grieving over something, whether it's just being upset that something bad happened, you still have to take that time to process it. But you know, being able to look at it and go, okay, well, I'm going to shift my focus on this to not, you know, focus on the negative of it for the next year. I'm going to turn around to use it as a positive to spring me to something else, or, you know, use it as fuel to propel me forward.
Oh, that's fantastic stuff, Jamie. I guess just digging a little deeper, like, so for instance, let's say something's going on in your life and, you know, your practice isn't going the way you want, or there's a relationship issue or whatever it is, you know, someone gets fired from a job or whatever. So you talked about that time to process it. Now, during that processing time, are there things or tools or strategies you use to sort of help you better get through that?
For sure. There's a long, I've dealt with my own mental health issues over the years too. I deal with depression and you know, that sort of runs in my family. So there's certainly been times where I've had to reach out and say, go talk to a counselor, or do different things like that. When something, you know, facing that adversity and you feel like you can't get through it.
Yeah.
And which I think is great, because, you know, 10, 20 years ago, if you would have said to a guy, you need to go talk to a counselor, probably wouldn't have been met with a lot of agreement.
No, I agree.
Because there was that stigmatism around mental health and things like that. So, you know, whether it's going and talking to a counselor, or whether it's, you know, talking to a friend or a mentor, or, you know, somebody that's in your life, I think having people to talk to, but especially if you can get that professional help, it goes a long way in helping with things like that.
Yeah, that's huge, Jamie. I think you're right. I found the same in my life. Having people that you trust, whether it's a professional, like a counselor, or someone that you can just bounce things off of and maybe get some greater insight, really helps. So good. You mentioned mentor. You know, I wasn't wanting to go this way, but, like, is that something you recommend people have? Do you have a mentor?
Well, I've had a few over the years. You know, there's two different guys who helped me as far as launching my website. You know, my fire chief, you know, different thing, people like that, that I look to that help me in different aspects of life. I mean, even you, you know, especially when I was first in practice, and working with the Grizzlies and things like that while I was a student, you know, whether it's working with you and Dale and the doctors and that, you know, that you bounce ideas off those people when you're trying to learn. And and even over the years, you know, coming back to you and you know, referring patients back and forth, and just talking to you about different issues in practice and different issues in life, you know, conversations you and I have had over the years. I think you kind of can surround yourself with positive people like that, and they can all be a mentor in different ways.
Oh, that's all. Well, thanks, Jamie. Yeah, no, I mean, I know from my life, that's been a critical role. I've had so many, I think anyone that's reached any level of, you know, what maybe you want to call it success, but there's been so many people that have helped us along the way. And I think that's what life's all about, just helping each other out. So that's awesome. Sure. Okay, now I want to discuss another topic, which I wanted to get your take on it. So there's obviously foam rolling and, you know, rolling on balls, and there's all these things you can buy in stores now. What's your take on that? I mean, obviously you're a massage therapist. Are you for it? Are you against it? When do you recommend it? Do you recommend it?
Totally, I recommend it. But I think you know, whether it's whether you're dealing with a patient or something like that, they also have to understand the mechanism behind what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of stuff out there. Like there's different marketing things and say that, oh, you know, using a foam roller can do X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
When in reality, it doesn't. So I think educating people on what's actually happening is an important part of it, especially if we're going to be, if it's coming from a healthcare practitioner and you're recommending it to somebody. Definitely it can, you know, help loosen things up a little bit, help make you feel a bit better, but it's definitely not going to replace going to a healthcare practitioner.
Yeah.
But certainly after the gym, you know, if you're, you know, feeling a bit sore, I don't think it hurts at all to jump on a foam roller. I use them when I, as a warm up sometimes before the gym and sometimes after. Totally.
Awesome. Okay. I had another question for you too. Like in regards to stretching versus say foam rolling, in your opinion, do you feel one is better than the other? Or do you think that if people tend to be more flexible, they don't need to use things like foam rollers as much? Like what's your take on that?
I think it depends on what you're using it for. You know, there's, like I said, there's all these marketing things out there that say that it does X, Y, Z. If you're using your foam roller as a warm up, say before you start the gym, then I think it's great.
Yeah.
And it depends on what you're stretching for. There's a whole lot of research out there now that says that beyond the fact that it just feels good, stretching doesn't do a lot for us.
Mm.
There's even a whole lot of research out there. I don't know if you follow Greg Lehman at all.
No, I don't know.
He's a great guy. He's actually coming to Victoria soon to put a course on. You should come and take it with us.
But okay.
He's got a website and he talks about reconciling biomechanics with pain science. And he's done a lot of research and promoted a lot of the research that shows that if you want to increase flexibility, actually putting tension on the tendon will do more to increase that than stretching will.
Wow.
So actually engaging the tendon and working out, you know, doing like weightlifting and movement and that kind of stuff. So I think it depends on what you're doing it for. But yeah, a lot of the research, if you look at Paul Ingraham's stuff, he wrote a great article about it a while ago, that beyond the fact that it just feels good, stretching doesn't do a lot for us.
Wow. That's amazing stuff. Okay. So listen, another question is you're a coach for massage therapists. And I know you've got a lot of people that follow you. So you know, this is a big question, but what are some of the keys you think to being successful in practice as a massage therapist here?
Well, it's all about building relationships.
Mm.
I think more than anything, you know, and you look at some of the information that comes down from the colleges and things like that, that, you know, that talk about the only thing you can talk to your patient about is their healthcare.
Yeah.
You know, but I personally, I just don't believe that, because I think if somebody came in to me for a treatment and all I could talk to them about was their healthcare, I don't think they'd ever come back to see me again. There has to be a personal side to
yeah.
it as well. You know, I mean, there's some people that I've been seeing for 5 years and I, you know, seen members of their family and everything. And I honestly think it's more about having relationships with people, and it's not just relationships with your patients. It's having relationships with other practitioners. I have learned so much from relationships that I've had with other practitioners, whether it be you or Dale Stewart or Johnny Kane or, you know, there's a whole bunch of people that you and I know together that I've,
yeah.
I've learned a ton of things from those people over the years. And in turn, part of what's helped to build my practice is the relationships that I have with those people, where we refer patients back and forth when whatever I'm doing for them doesn't work. So maybe they need to go and see a chiropractor, or maybe they go and need to have some exercise therapy with, you know, one of the other people that I know.
Yeah, that's awesome, and I couldn't agree more. And I think there's a little bit of a fine line between, you know, building, make sure the relationship's professional and
for sure.
But I think that's life, isn't it? Relationships are. That's you know, such an important part of our life. It's incredible, isn't it? Okay, so now listen. I think coming from an expert like you in massage, for a lay person, what do you think the best fact? Like, what can we do as a lay person to sort of keep our muscles strong, flexible, supple? What do you recommend to do that?
Move. Just keep moving. I remember one of the best teachers that I had in college, his one of his favorite terms is motion is the lotion.
Wow.
You know, the people who get into conditions where they have chronic pain and things like that, a lot of the time, and I won't say every time, but a lot of the time, it's, you know, people start to suffer from chronic pain and they stop moving.
Yeah.
And then the pain gets worse. and becomes more chronic, which is it's a difficult path to travel because they're in pain, and sometimes moving can be painful.
Yeah.
But the more that the person moves, the more it will help to decrease the pain, because it's all about giving that feedback to our nervous system, right? More feedback that we give it, the more it allows the body to change and adapt. So, the more that we keep moving, it's, the longer your life is going to be, and hopefully the less pain that you'll be experiencing. And I remember in college, they talked about the number one recommended thing for folks with fibromyalgia is to exercise and move. Wow. In order to help relieve that pain, and I still believe that that's a huge factor now.
That's you got me so excited there. I heard the nervous system, and of course, as a chiropractor, I get pretty jazzed up. That's amazing. I guess there's so many different types of exercise. Are there certain types of exercise you tend to recommend more to your patients? Is there a preference?
I think it's whatever's going to make the patient happy.
Yep.
But I could sit there and tell somebody that you need to go, I could say, you need to go across the road and go to the CrossFit gym over there. But if somebody doesn't like that, they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
I could sit there and tell somebody you need to do XYZ exercise, but if it's not something that they enjoy doing it, chances are they're not going to adhere to it. Whereas if somebody comes in, one of the cool things is when you get an athlete who's injured and they come in and they just want to get back to their sport. They want to get rid of that injury. They want to get back to sport. Or, the person who comes in and they're hurt and they want to get back to work. They love their job and they don't like the fact that they are hindered from doing that job anymore.
Right.
Whatever exercises you can give them that will make them get back to that, chances are they're going to do more of it. And same if a person comes in and they're just like, I love going for a walk every night. Well, then you know what? That's the perfect exercise for you.
Excellent.
If we start telling people that they need to do XYZ, which sometimes that's what's required in order to say strengthen a muscle that is hurt or something like that. But if the person doesn't find it enjoyable, their adherence to it is probably going to be a lot less as opposed to if you give them something that they love to do.
I have to admit, I find that just totally awesome. When you actually think about that. So really what you're saying is it doesn't matter that much what you're doing. Just move and just do something that you love. So it might be walking your dog. It could be swimming. It might be playing pickleball. Maybe it's going to Tai Chi. Maybe it's playing, slow pitch fastball or slow pitch.
Totally.
Yeah, awesome.
Totally. If you get, I'm just trying to think of an example. Say if you get a CrossFitter that comes in, CrossFitters just love being CrossFitters, right? So if you tell them, okay, well then go back over to the gym and start doing your stuff, then chances are they're going to go and do that more. Whereas if you get a person in who, say, loves playing tennis, and if you give them an exercise that's, you say, okay, the more that you do this, it will get you back on the court. Chances are they're going to adhere to it more and get back on the court. So, when we look at the biopsychosocial aspects of things, the more psychology and social things that we can incorporate into that exercise stuff, I think you'll get more adherence from people and get them moving more if it's something they love to do.
Ooh, that's exciting. Yeah, and there's nothing better than helping people in practice. I had a guy this morning, new patient come in, and he hasn't been golfing in several years. And of course, we're like, oh boy, that would be just terrific if we can get him back. Okay, that's Jamie. That's amazing stuff. Okay, so for our listeners out there, Jamie, how can they learn more about you?
Well, they could go to my Facebook page. They can go to the website. So the website is themtdc.com, which is just themtdc.com. The website's more focused towards other massage therapists or manual therapists, but yep. That's one way to do it. But even just hit me up on Facebook or LinkedIn or anything like that. If you're in Victoria and you need some treatment, then come over to the clinic.
Fantastic. And what clinic you at again, Jamie?
The Athlete Center.
Okay, and that's the one that's by Uptown?
Yeah, on Kerry Road, just close to Uptown.
Okay. Yeah, and so your Facebook page, is that just Jamie Johnston?
Jamie M. Johnston.
Jamie M. Johnston. Okay, yep. Awesome. Well, Jamie, thanks so much for joining me. I really, really appreciate it. We're out of time, unfortunately. So people out there, if there's anyone that you think would benefit from this talk today, I'd love you to share the podcast with them. Sure. Hopefully they'll be glad you did. Jamie, thanks again. To all our listeners, thanks for listening to the first edition of Back to Health. We're back here in a couple weeks, and we'll hopefully you'll tune in then. All the best. Take care, guys.
Thanks for listening. We hope you have enjoyed this episode. For more information about Dr. Kale, visit his website, vfchiro.com, where you can read his blog and hit links to his YouTube channel and Facebook page for videos and more. Book an appointment with Dr. Kale today at Victoria Family Chiropractic by calling 250-592-5553 and get started on a path to being your best.